Blog Talk Radio.
Sure I am that this day, now, we are the masters of our fate. That the task which has been set us is not above our strength. That its pangs and toils are not beyond our endurance. As long as we have faith in our cause and an unconquerable willpower, salvation will not be denied us. In the words of the psalmist, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Not all the tidings will be evil. On the contrary, mighty strokes of war have already been dealt against the enemy. Wounds have been inflicted which have bitten deep and will fester and inflame. What kind of a people do they think we are? Is it possible they do not realize that we shall never cease to persevere against them until they have been taught a lesson which they and the world will never forget? Here we are, together, facing a group of mighty foes who seek our ruin. Here we are, together, defending all that to free men is dear. If we had taken common measures for our safety, this renewal of the curse need never have fallen upon us. Do we not owe it to ourselves, to our children, to tormented mankind, to make sure that these catastrophes do not engulf us? It is not given to us to peer into the mysteries of the future. Still I avow my hope and faith, sure and inviolate, that in the days to come, the British people will, for their own safety and for the good of all, walk together in majesty, in justice, and in peace.
Gentlemen, this is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live from blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. And I've got two great panellists this evening, but I'm just going to read out a short little script for this evening's show. I say the banner of the show this evening is the English Defence League radio show. We leave EU on 29th of March, period. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show, which hosts, that's me, Jeff Spire Mitchell, and our panellists this evening are Jan the Tornado Rene and Dave Agador Milner. Tonight, We have a lot to talk about, and yes, we will be leaving the EU on the 29th of March at 11 p.m. As I say, onward and forward. We will also be discussing the upcoming national demo on the 16th of March at Wellington. Foot soldiers, angels, supporters of the cause, and global patriots. This show is your platform and voice, so please call in. No surrender ever. And with that, I'd like to pass it to my panellists this evening, which is Jan and Dave. I think Jan's on the same line as you, Dave. So, Jan, welcome. Welcome to the show.
It's good to be here, Jeff. And may I say that you're sounding a lot better this week.
Thank you.
Thank you. I've been taking this
medication. It seems to be doing the trick. You know, sometimes I'll get a good days and bad days. That's all I say. But it's good to hear you, Jan. We've got so much to discuss this evening, and I'm still bored over.
I've just been looking at the fabulous slides that Dave has put in. Dave's put some excellent slides in, and I'd just like to say how Dave and you work hard and keep it going, because I'm at work and I try to get in as much as I can. But no, great slides, great production. Good evening, Dave.
Yeah, well, you know, we always think of you, Jen, because we know when you're working, we know also you do so much work for the show, with the links that you put in, you know, our Facebook page, etc. So we've got, you know, we've got things that we can talk about for like today and Sunday, etc., etc. So even though you're with us in spirit, you know, you're there with us, and that's why we all say thank you, Jan, for all that you do. So we really appreciate it. Even though we know sometimes you've got to work to put, you know, to put the food on the table, etc., etc. It's just the way it goes, isn't it? But it's so good to hear your voice, Jan. And, of course, we've got Dave here. He's very quiet in the background here. But, Dave, good to have you here, mate. And, what's the weather like? You've been getting over in the United States. My God, a vortex, polar vortex, whatever it is. Dave, how are you, pal?
Well, no, I think just Hillary Clinton opened up her house coat. But, I just want to say hello to not only to everybody in the UK and over here in the States and around the world, but hello to the listeners of the Unpleasant Blind Guy. This is going to be part of a multi-part series that is explaining in detail about Brexit and about what it means to Americans, you know, the wider implications of leaving a super state. And this will be split. This particular show, guys, will be split in half. So because we have quite a few things that we want to talk about here, but it's moved on now, and it's moved into a new phase. And hopefully, hopefully we'll see. Hopefully, there won't be any kind of second referendum BS or anything of that nature. We'll see what happens. But we do have quite a few stories that and things, and Jan has some great stuff on a possible prime minister candidate that sounds really good. And Jan, you know, I know that you will want to say a word or two about Ireland, you know, the whole backstop nonsense, and explain that to my American brothers and sisters so they understand a little bit more about what's going on with that. But you're looking forward to it, Jeff. And it's a little bit brisk out here. The last time I checked was a few hours ago, and it was 3 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm not sure what it is now, but it's probably...
They said there's going to be a change in your weather, didn't they, over the next Thursday and off, 2 days?
We'll see. I'd have to check it, but it's nice and warm and toasty in here, so I'm grateful for that.
I'm nice and toasty, and I don't know what your degrees are, but... It's where I am right now is -5. So, yeah, it's never got above -2 all day. So, yeah, it's pretty cold.
Are you in Scotland at the moment, Jeremy, down in Birmingham?
I was going to say.
All the six cats are in. I've got hobo lying across my lap now. I've had to move my computer up the arm.
That's how you like it, Jay. You know what you like.
It's a six cat night.
Actually, we've seen the sun quite a bit today, but you know, this time of year, Dave, the temperatures, you know, you get the sun not too bad, being, you know, keep frosting a little bit, but at night we have a hard frost, and it just makes the roads a bit icy, doesn't it, Jen? So, you know, but fortunately, I hope that we're not going to see too much more snow, but you can never tell, can you? You never know what's going to happen with our weather. But anyway, Jan and Dave, it's good to have you both here tonight. That's how we got so much. And also, we've got a demonstration coming up just over, I think it's about 5 weeks' time, March the 16th. So what am I talking about, Jan? Is it 5 or 6 weeks?
16th of March in Wellington.
Yeah. Time to head to Wales. Yeah.
Wellington, isn't it? Wellington.
that's the river.
I'm not too sure about Wellington. Is it cold? My goodness me.
Well, no. Remember, we look for it on the map, and I found it. It's not that far away from Cardiff, so yeah, it's in Wales. So everybody will get ready to head west.
Yes.
Go west, young men and women. Well, guys, I think first of all, since Sunday we had the big boat on Tuesday that everybody was concerned about, and I've got the story here, and Jeff, I think I'll hand it to you. Unless Jan, if you're in the chat room.
I'm not in the chat room.
Oh, that's fine. Then I'll hand it over to
my Adobe Flash has gone down.
Okay. Well, Jeff, I'll hand it to you. The story here, and you know, let you look at it, and you know, okay, you know, once I get my bloody Skype figured out. I have to tell you, listeners, that the new Skype stinks, and they won't let people go to the old Skype, you know, the one that we're used to. They just want people to use the new one. Well, anyway, Jeff, let's see. I'm having trouble getting the thing to you. So what I'll do is just go ahead and read the story. This one here. This is from the Mail Online, and not only spend a lot of time on it because we have so much to talk about, but let's read some of the main bullet points and things. You know, this, as I said, there was a big vote that we were all concerned about and all watching and things of that nature. And okay, and I bring this down. This is from the Mail Online. It's by James Tapsfield, political editor for the Mail Online, and Tim Schulthorpe. Deputy political editor for the Mail Online, let's see, Martin Robinson, chief reporter for the Mail Online. So, you know, this everybody got involved in this one. All right. this one was updated yesterday. All right. So the headline here. And it does open up a stupid video, Jeff, so it's probably just as good that you didn't get it. Okay, a sweeping victory for May as she wins all but one vote in the Commons showdown, crushing Remainer rebel bid to delay Brexit and winning mandate to return to Brussels and renegotiate backstop. I'm going to go ahead and just read the subheads, the bullet points. Let's see. The House of Commons has staged a series of high-stakes votes on Theresa May's Brexit strategy this evening. Labour bid to rule out a no-deal Brexit was trampled by a majority of 31, and SNP amendment was also beaten. Right. government saw off Conservative MP Dominic Grieve's bid to force indicative votes to be held in Parliament. An effort by Yvette Cooper, one of the Darth Vaders of all of this, to pave the way for Brexit to be delayed past the end of March, lost by 23 votes. And this is the important thing, Jeff. We may have lost you, Jeff, but I know you'll be back. An amendment tabled by senior Tory backbencher Graham Brady and backed by the PM was passed by MPs. And the amendment endorsed Mrs. May's deal as long as she can overhaul the controversial Irish border backstop. Mrs. May hailed a rout to a Brexit deal and an humiliated Jeremy Corbyn finally for a, quote, Plan C, end quote, proposal put together by hardline Tory Brexiteers and Remainers. So this looks like it's going to be a negotiation type thing. Jan, what are your impressions of this so far?
They should never involve Jeremy Corbyn in any Remainer should have any say in any negotiations, because they will ensure some tie to the EU in whichever way they can still tie us, they will do it.
I think so. That is, I believe, what this quote unquote Plan C is going to be all about. Mm-hmm. Is going to be finding some way to make it, like Brexit in name only, and that I think moving forward is the biggest concern that people should have, whether or not the UK leaves the EU in March officially is now a different question. The question, I think, becomes how the UK will leave the EU, and will it really leave the EU? Will it be symbolic or will it be real? And this is a question, I think, Jan, that, and listeners, that has reverberations across the planet. Because, Jan, you were talking about, the last time we spoke, you were talking about how you believe that UKIP should rebrand itself, change its name, and become something else, because that issue is if not dead, at least changed. But I think there's a wider issue here. I'm not so sure that UKIP should change its name for one important reason. It's the United Kingdom Independence Party. Now, however, Brexit shakes out, and of course we hope it shakes out with no deal and not paying Europe any more money or allowing any more uncontrolled migration or anything like that. But however it shakes out, there is a bigger super state that people, I think, need to consider getting rid of. Okay. I'm going to just say this, and then, but just for a second, Jeff says that he's having issues calling back into the show, and look at what they've done.
Yeah.
The fact that they're constantly promoting Islam, they're not only promoting Islam, they're promoting abortion. But the even bigger issue is they're promoting Islam. They're always against Israel. They're always against the United States. They're almost always against the UK. This is an organization that neither of our countries, and none of the people's countries who happen to be listening right now, should belong to. It was originally set up, Jan, as an organization that would stop warfare.
They actually promote war. They are warmongers. They always have been.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And the question has to be asked. I mean, how many wars has there been since the United Nations was set up? There's been a ton of them. And I want to welcome Jeff back. But that I think is after Brexit. I think that's the next move.
We need to attack the problem of the UN and how to get rid of it.
Oh yeah.
We do not need organizations, superpowers, because that's what it oh,
right.
You know, they're pulling the shots. We don't need superpowers.
No, we don't need.
We do not.
No.
They are dictating, as you say, about migration. You know what? Birds migrate. People invade.
No, exactly. That's great. I agree with that completely, yes. And that's the thing. It has, you know, its original purpose is dead. It's gone. I mean, it's for our American listeners, guys, look back at your history.
Mm-hmm.
We, you guys who know a little bit about the U.S. over in the U.K. will know this too. In the early 20th century, we had a constitutional amendment to outlaw the sale and consumption of a certain amount of alcohol. It turned out to be a massive mistake. It empowered the gangsters, and you know, thousands of people died because of it. So
how
we had
many deaths?
We had to create another constitutional amendment to get rid of it. And I see the UN as the same thing. It's a failed experiment. You know, it's like, okay, nice try, looked good on paper, but it hasn't worked. It's time for us all to get out.
Look at the wars. Look at the wars. Look at Vietnam.
Everybody should be able to rule their own countries without having Brussels or anybody else putting their noses in, trying to change our laws to better themselves. And we know we've talked about this for many years, haven't we, guys? We've always been talking about this.
Yeah. Look at the leader of human rights in the UN. Turns out to be a boiling, you know, Muslim who... They don't even believe in human rights. I mean, they make a person like that in charge of human rights. It's like they're taking the pure.
Oh yeah. Exactly. It is. It's treating the subject of human rights, of, you know, as we would call it over here in the United States, civil rights, as if it were a joke.
Yeah.
And just saying, okay, yeah, now give us money. Well, the hell with that. You know, now, guys, I heard something. Not heard something. There's a line, believe it or not, out of a game that I like to play. And there's a – I did a show a few weeks ago called Games, and it talks about this game. But in this game, one of the characters in there says, a few bureaucrats in New York can't even make good decisions for New Jersey, let alone Paris – or a village in China. Fiction and a game, though that was, that is an extremely true statement. It's just like saying a few bureaucrats in Brussels can't make decisions, you know, quite honestly, you know, for Germany, much less the UK. You know, it's really the same thing. You know, you're trying to shuck one super state, and I really think that it's time for a worldwide effort to get rid of the big super state. But that's my feeling, Jan. That's what I was thinking as I was cogitating what you had to say about UKIP and them changing.
Any right-minded person would agree with that. Dissolve the UN. Dissolve it. Dissolve the EU, and that's what they're feared of. You know, without Britain. Maybe somebody else will follow suit, and the EU state, as they want it, superpower, arseholes that they are, will dissolve one by one, hopefully. I think the UK is a template. Without all this bureaucratic nonsense of the Brexit backstop, I mean, what a load of poppycock that is.
Well, Jen,
read it.
Well, it's all about befuddling the whole Brexit, You know, when we voted for our Brexit, Jan, we didn't vote for different things to be added to it to get out. Out means out. And it doesn't matter what the bureaucrats in Brussels have to say about it. and we want to trade independently. We've got friends right away across the globe. We don't need them. They need us, don't they, Jan? And
yep.
Dave, we've known that, and this is why they've been trying to put so many obstacles in front of us to stop it, because they knew that this was going to be their downfall. We are sending them because they know what's going to happen. They're going to crumble. Give it 5, 10, about 6 years, Jan. They will fade away and be an insignificant mark on our history that shouldn't have been put in place in the first place. That's my, that's my little spin on it anyway.
Well, yeah, and you guys have seen all of the fear mongering that has gone on. I mean, it's still going on in the papers. They don't want the if you go by the WTO rules, it'll be a disaster. It'll be horrible. I actually found a little something out of an American movie that kind of encapsulates what's going on right now. Check this out, guys.
Disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
That's pretty much what's going on in the papers. Am I not right, Jan?
Yeah,
they're
sure.
Going to walk on the earth as well, aren't they, Dave, and all that. That's what...
I mean, to hear some of these videos. In one of the videos that's off of one of the stories that I got for the show, there was a guy that, if the UK goes to the WTO rules, then they won't be able to land planes in the EU or, in Europe. My God, what in the hell? Now, Jan, before we, we've got a few minutes before we break, and you said I bug you because it's so good, to check out this lady who has emerged as a possible PM candidate, prime minister candidate over in the UK, and she appeared to be a hard Brexiteer, but we didn't know, and we wanted to check it out because as you both know, Jan and Jeff, we've been betrayed so many times before. So Jan, if you want to you reviewed this, what did you find?
Esther McVeigh, she's a pain in the arse, or should I say, pain in the side to Theresa May.
Oh, that's already.
She was appointed secretary in charge of works and pensions, but she shifted from that post, I think it was November. She resigned from her current post because of this deal that Theresa May was putting forward. I've been looking at this Esther McVeigh, and I've decided I would love her to be Prime Minister. Really, really. She seems to be coming across as hardcore no deal. She's actually making videos. I'll read you a little bit of the videos that she's putting out there. I haven't come across any yet. In a video intended to dismantle the so-called Project Fear of Remain MPs, because you know all this BS they're putting out about how we're going to starve, how we're not going to have biscuits or coffee or tea and all this rubbish. Esther McVeigh is creating a series of videos to promote a World Trade Organization, WTO, exit. If the UK does eventually leave the EU, MPs argue that the UK would be able to utilize full WTO trade rules. The ex-minister who resigned over Theresa May's deal is making a series of videos called Get to Know WTO. And it's designed to inform the public on what the WTO means and how Britain would adapt to it quite easily. We've already got deals. You know, why are they doing this to us? Esther McVeigh said the former welfare secretary told The Sun she's not very popular because she's been cutting people's benefits. Unfortunately, while she's cutting Indigenous people of Britain's benefits, that's why she's not really liked. We're still promoting the so-called migrants' benefits are getting everything they want and more. She says, I want to let you know that us MPs wanting to ensure that referendum happens are really trying to do our part to ensure that we come out of the EU. Now, when we talk about coming out and coming out without a deal and then working on World Trade Organization rules, a lot of people are asking, what actually is that? Because we have many thick MPs out there, folks. Well, it's
like
an
organization,
yeah, the biggest in the world, allowing trade and allowing movement, and we would be part of that. The former cabinet minister also joined the Stand Up for Brexit campaign, which is being backed by big-name Brexiteers, Boris Johnson, Ian Duncan Smith, and David Davis. I think she's on par with us where she thinks that Remainers should not be involved in any of the talks, but we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, Mrs. May hasn't said too much about her. I think she's trying to pretend if she doesn't speak about her, she'll go away.
She's probably petrified of her.
McVeigh is not going to go away. She has also brought up this so-called Brexit backstop. And I'm saying to myself for ages now, what the hell is it? What do they mean by this Brexit backstop about this border with Northern Ireland and Ireland?
Yeah, can you please explain that in a little bit of detail, especially, Jan, for the Americans who aren't quite up to speed, because even since the really bad terrorist attacks of the 1970s and 80s, we've had a whole generation grow up that doesn't even know about this stuff. So can you please explain that a bit?
The EU obviously, I think that they want a border. Northern Ireland and the UK and Ireland do not want a hard border. Now, this is where I come in here, forgetting about the EU. I think a border should have gone up hundreds of years ago. There'd have been a lot less deaths with the Northern Ireland troubles had we had a hard border between the south and the north. Northern Ireland is part of the UK. Ireland is not.
Right.
And as we know, in the past, they used to come and do their dastardly murderous deeds in Northern Ireland, and then they'd skip back over the border, mostly unchallenged. Their own Garda was supposed to be looking after them, but it didn't actually work. I am all for a border. The EU wants a border, but I mean, if that's them playing it up because they want this border, that would also mean this backstop, this would also mean that the sea would have a border. But what they want this border for is for the EU to check what's coming in out of Ireland into Northern Ireland. Now, it's been okay in the past for the EU to allow the migrants to get to Ireland and then come up through into Northern Ireland and get across on boats into the UK without any border passes or checks.
Mm-hmm.
There's no control with passports.
Right.
So, but now that's been fine because they've been doing that for a few years, down into Ireland, up into Northern Ireland, across the water into Scotland, down into England mostly. That's been fine. But now when they're talking about goods, now let's shove this border up, but let the EU people check the border. This is the backstop. It says that Brexit has hit another roadblock as Prime Minister Theresa May lost Parliament's crucial vote on her draft withdrawal agreement. So what is the backstop? The one topic that seems unsurmountable, and this is really, you know what politics is like? They never answer a question.
Oh,
you
of
ask
course.
A question, you never get an answer. But this is their answer. The need for a Brexit backstop is to prevent a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic was one of the first things both the EU and the UK agreed was essential in negotiations. But after these negotiations faltered time and again over the details of this backstop, the complexity of the contentious issue became ever more evident. Now, the backstop still poses the biggest threat to Theresa May and her ability to get the deal passed through UK Parliament, as it formed the core issue leading to MPs to vote it down. A new vote has been called for January the 19th. Well, you know what's all gone on with that one.
Right.
By Mrs. May, less than 2 weeks to salvage Brexit. Before we delve into the topic, it is important to remember the two things. Firstly, even if the Brexit deal is eventually voted through Parliament, this doesn't mean negotiations are done. All that really does is reset the clock to allow more time for the nitty-gritty details of a deal to be finalised, which will be done during the two-year transition period after the March 29th official Brexit deadline. Doesn't that just piss me off? Another 2 years.
Yep, 2021.
Yep. Secondly, we need to remember that the backstop, according to the government, is a last resort, and it is not desirable, and will only be enforced if a better solution has not presented itself during the 2 years of transition. Now, when you think of other EU countries that do not have a hard border anywhere.
Right.
So I think there's Switzerland, and I think there's Sweden has not got a hard line. There's two or three countries in Europe that haven't got a hard line border, or should I say, even outside of Europe. And there's been no problem. To me, this is just the EU shoving a spanner in the works.
Well, again,
going to be a border. There is not going to be a border. That I can assure you. Even though I would like a border for just because they're a separate country. It's like if you can imagine that there'd be no border between you and Mexico.
Well, that's my thing, Jan. I mean, security reason. We read a story here before Christmas. About the guy who shot up a Christmas market in Germany, and this was right across the border from France, and eventually they got the a-hole, and when they got him, what they found was that he had just been going back and forth through these fluid borders with the visa-less travel, and you know he had a criminal record. I believe Jeff, he had a criminal record in about four different countries.
That's right.
And,
in the simple terms, sorry, Dave, just to wrap this up about the backstop, this is their simple terms of what the backstop is.
Mm-hmm.
The backstop is a sort of safety net or insurance policy. But for who?
Insuring what?
Well, the backstop is meant to ensure no matter what happens with the rest of the negotiations, there will not be a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic. So even if the rest of the UK leaves the EU with no trade or security arrangements, there won't suddenly be border checks and restrictions on the island of Ireland.
What's wrong?
Goods and services are traded between the two jurisdictions with few restrictions. As the UK and Ireland are currently part of the EU single market and customs union, products do not need to be inspected for customs and standards, but after Brexit, that could all change. So that's what the hold-up is. I mean, as you just pointed out, there's that guy that was grasshopping from four countries across Europe with no hard pass borders.
Yeah.
Europe wants a border, which would also cross the Irish Sea with the UK. Does that mean we could shoot them out of the water if they come fishing in our land?
Exactly. Well, and my question here, guys, is you know... Should Ireland not be able to secure their own border? You know, that's another question. And another question is, should the UK not be able to secure its own border?
The 1998 Good Friday Agreement is tied up in this.
Ah.
Because they removed the security checkpoints from the Irish border. Now, it wasn't a hard and fast checkpoint. They probably checked for weapons and whatnot, but, you know, it wasn't... They obviously got them through in any case. But the basic building block of peace in Northern Ireland is that Good Friday Agreement about the border, which could change everything. The conflict from the 1920s into the 20th century and all the troubles. And as it's part of the Good Friday Agreement, that could feasibly be seen as breaking the Good Friday Agreement if a hard and fast border went up. Southern Ireland doesn't want it. Northern Ireland.
Could that lead to further troubles in Northern Ireland again, Jane? Could that lead to the resurgence of the IRA, etc., etc.? Am I right? Am I thinking?
Yes. Yep. So we can. Yeah. We should really tell the EU to go and stuff themselves. It's too late for the border now because of the Irish agreement, the Good Friday Agreement back in 1998.
Okay.
So if that was all broken down, is this what the EU wants? Is this why they're pushing for this? Northern Ireland doesn't want it.
It probably
the UK
is,
doesn't want it.
Hmm.
And Ireland doesn't want it. What do they want? A bloodbath?
Well, that could be it. They could very well want a bloodbath so that they could so that they could bring in security forces and institute some kind of European martial law. You know, I always look for the backstabbing
that's
to come from people like this.
The crafty movement like the UN would do.
Mm-hmm.
It says, in addition to this, creating a catch-22 is a worry of creating a hard border down the Irish Sea, cutting off Northern Ireland from the rest of the UK, which it would cut off Northern Ireland from the rest of the UK, because between us and Northern Ireland is the Irish Sea. So if there was a border, I mean, there's like three different loads of ferries from Girvan, Stranraer, Troon. All the boats go across from there in Scotland into Northern Ireland, into Belfast, into Larne. If there was a hard border or even any kind of border, then we would probably have to go all the way round. We wouldn't be able to go across their sea because it's the Irish Sea. This is just the EU pissing us about as usual.
Well,
a hard border in Ireland won't work.
No wonder we have problems there.
The Irish Sea. Yeah.
Well, and I appreciate that explanation, Jan. I really do, because you know, at the knee-jerk reaction, obviously, and this is because we in the United States are having so much of a problem, particularly with our southern border, and that's going to be with our northern border as well. We're having such problems that there's a large faction of people here in our country that are saying, you know, we want a good, hard, secure border. So, I want to thank you because you made this issue clear, because all we've been reading is in the papers in the UK this and that about backstop, and we didn't know what the hell that was.
That's right.
So
it drives you nuts, and they're not willing to. Even when she lost the vote a couple of weeks ago, no one explained on the television to any of the viewers what backstop meant. They just kept mentioning this backstop.
Right.
Now, had they brought up the 1998
Good Friday Agreement,
and how we wouldn't be able to get to Northern Ireland by sea because we'd be going across their waters, and there'd be all these checks this end, there end. Now, I was one that used to be thinking about, you know, years ago there should have been borders, but when you think about it logically, no, it wouldn't have worked out because we have got that Irish Sea.
It's a more complex issue than it would appear on the surface. Guys, we're at about the halfway point in the show, and Jeff, if you want to call back in, I've got a tune here.
Just to give you a pre-warning, Dave and Jan, when I try to, you know, fix my other phone up like I normally do, Dave, because it went off pretty quick tonight, actually, when I tried to connect it and redial in, it was letting me. So if I do have a few issues, just bear with me and just carry on until I re-establish the link again. Okay, Dave? Jeff?
No, it's all good, Jeff. It's all good, man. And this one, I think you're both gonna like. But this one comes from our friend Smokey. He played this a couple of Sundays ago, and he said, you know, I think Jeff would like it, and you know, I think you like it too, Jeff. This, you know, this is from a band called UFO, this is gonna take about 5 minutes. So everybody, you'll have plenty of time to refresh your drinks or whatnot and refresh yourselves. And please come back for the second half of the EDL radio show. We do have some more details about the fallout from this big boat and things happening moving forward. I want to say to listeners of the Unpleasant Blind Guy, I appreciate each and every one of you. There will be another part to this, the last part of it, and that's going to be coming up next time on the Unpleasant Blind Guy. May your God go with you. And to everyone else, please stay tuned for the second half of the English Defense League radio show and enjoy some UFO.
Well, guys, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's good.
Good, see, yeah. Pretty good stuff there. You like it. Just to let you know that we did have Stanger joined us. I've only just got into the chat room. But just to let you know, we had the Alaskan, our boy Dave here. So he said hello to you, Dave, and Jane. So just to let you know, we have got... our chat room's full.
Cool. All right.
Jen, I can't see the chat room.
Jen, did you have some breaking news?
Yeah, I haven't fully. Let me see where it's gone. I haven't. Is it gone yet? I haven't translated. It's from Italy. It's from Vox in Italy. Very weird. I'll have to find out more about this. There's a picture of, well, there's about 20 I can see, but 100 men, of course of fighting age, have been forcibly put on a ship to go to Rittery. 100 immigrants from Ethiopia. Now, they're not immigrants because they didn't want to go anywhere. They've been forcibly put on a boat and taken to Rittery. Now, haven't we got enough wandering the planet into the West without them being escorted onto ships that they don't want to really go on? No, yeah, women and children.
Oh, of course not. No, no. In that, you know, they're very likely that's not going to be covered. So, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, and that's one of the things that that we have as far as what we need to cover here. you know, there are a lot.
Ethiopia, wasn't they all starving at one time? They're all quite, should I say, buxom for men. They're quite fat.
Oh, yeah. That will you know, continue. You know, there was the big, you know, Bob Geldof thing that that he had in the 1980s. You know, because of the famine there and all of that. Well, apparently that's...
Well, you know, Bob Geldof...
Over.
He had a one-hit wonder with I Don't Like Mondays, you know, about the lassie that shot up. Yeah, they didn't make that much money that he became a millionaire. So, you know, he must have got some profit out of his Feed the World.
He's made a new one. For the Ethiopians, it's something about don't feed the obese or something or other because the Ethiopians have got too fat.
there you go. Yeah. I believe that was just...
Yeah. Here's another quick one for the American friend. It's a shame we haven't got this here. It comes from thisinsider.com. And you can name a cockroach after your ex in time for Valentine's Day. And there's a cockroach.
For how much?
$2. You can name a cockroach after your ex in time for Valentine's Day.
Oh, please send me that
link.
That's
different.
Well, and I know you may want to use it yourself. Well, is it a brown cockroach or one of the black kind? You know,
It looks like, I don't know, what's the red bits? Is that where it sucks blood or something? It looks golden brown and it's got red in its wings. But
oh, okay, yeah. Then it's a European. Yeah, it's a European cockroach. You know, it's probably an EU cockroach. You know, this is probably another thing for the EU to make money. But
well, we've got enough bloody EU wasps, haven't we, Jen? Have you seen the size of it? Dave, you see the size of the EU wasps that keeps flying over here? They're massive, aren't they, Jan? Huge.
Well,
if they
you
your
know
car
what?
Screen,
when
Dave,
in...
they'll break your car screen.
When I was in Cyprus in September, I had to have hospital treatment because, I mean, in all the years, I've never been bitten by mosquitoes. But I got there on the Tuesday, I think, and I got bitten that same day on my right leg. The following morning, my leg was all inflamed. I had to go to the hospital, get injections, very strong antibiotics and anti-sickness tablets to counteract the antibiotics that were so strong. And they said at 40 degrees, keep your leg out of the sun. Do you know where these Syrian... They were coming from Syria. Because, you know, Cyprus is very close to Syria. So these Mozzies was coming over from Syria, and I'm thinking, the buses are going to get me somehow or other. So they got my leg. But it was about 4 days. I was back to the hospital, and I was cleared up. Brilliant hospitals in Cyprus. Absolutely.
Well, if you're not, if you're not used to it,
about
yeah,
that, Jack, because that can get...
It can get you.
If you get bit by a mosquito and all that, you can get all sorts of problems with it. And thank goodness you've got it sorted out, and good hospital treatment.
Oh, mosquitoes are getting stronger. Jeff was talking about the wasps. You know, you have the those Japanese super wasps. I've seen videos of those things. I wouldn't do anything with those things except, you know, encounter with a .40 caliber pistol, you know. Jeez.
Or flamethrowers, Dave. That's what you need with them things.
Flamethrower, things like that. Yeah, I mean, all of the bad things seem to be getting bigger. You know, that's trying to break away from the EU.
Even the mice are getting bigger.
Look
at these from wherever it was, Ethiopia. Yeah, they are getting too fat.
Well, you know, it's very strange because now we've all heard about the and again, guys, this is relevant. We've all of course heard about the sex trade, the sex slave trade, and it came out last year, and a bit the year before too, that it's not just women that are being traded for sex. Men are being traded for work. Yeah. And there's a thriving slave market going on in Ethiopia, the lefties in the UK, in the States, in Europe, in the West, don't seem to be interested in that at all. They're interested in being triggered by whatever politically incorrect thing they see on Twitter or a Make America Great Again hat. Those concern these people a lot more than the fact that there is still a thriving slave trade going on in Africa and Asia right now, an open thriving slave trade. We're not talking about something like is going on in the UK and in the United States that's happening behind closed doors here. This is just open.
Your president talks about it quite openly about the sex
about
trade, Dave.
I know he did, Jeff. I'm just saying that, you know, this is an issue for, or should be an issue for, this generation of millennials and even some of the Gen Xers, if they want to prove their worth. Wiping out slavery would be something for them to do, but they seem to be far more concerned with diversity, political correctness, and multiculturalism than in actually doing anything to bring freedom to any people. So tells you everything you need to know about them.
Aren't these people creating the downfall of civilization with the way they're acting? It seems that they do not like civilization. They do not like, moving forward with times. They want to, I don't know, hold us all to their standard, which doesn't appeal to most like-minded people like ourselves, Dave. Why should we go down that path?
Their idea of moving forward is to remove gender from birth certificates. That's their idea of moving forward.
Right, right.
Their idea of moving forward is teaching children of 4 years of age at school that they really should be boys and the girls should be boys and the boys should be girls, and there's something wrong if they're not.
They want to raise them to be androgynous.
That
to them
that
is
way,
progress.
Genders and all that. Why should we be led to this path of genderism? I think it's rubbish. You know, either you're born a boy or either you're born a girl, and it should be on your birth certificate, whatever. It shouldn't be nothing to do with genders. It is what you've made. It's what your mum and dad made of you, isn't it, Jan? Isn't it, Dave? That's it.
The solution is to get hold of your child's head. The solution is, in my opinion, to get hold of your child's head before the teachers in schools do.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. I mean, and if it's at all possible, and I know it's more difficult in the UK than it is here in the States, but if it's at all possible, that you know, homeschool your kids, you know, because this is a weakening of our children. We already have children that don't know history, and that is why they can be so easily duped by the left. They don't know that there was such a thing as the Holocaust or things of that nature, and you know, they don't.
My grandsons are homeschooled. They're not in that system at all. No.
Oh well, good. That is a good thing.
Had I been, if this had started years ago and my children were in school, I'd have probably closed the schools down with picket lines and everything, because I would no way have stood by while they were taking our children from my kids' schools to mosques, etc. I would have had the place in an uproar. I'd have put letters out. I'd have gone to Parliament. I just don't understand these parents who sit back and say, "Well, you know, what can we do? It's part of the education." No, it's not.
I'm lucky with my grandchildren, Jan, that you know my boys, they're not going to let them do all that crap. You know, my grandchildren, they're quite savvy. You know, with Terry and Rick, the way they are. You know, that they don't want this sort of thing forced down their throats because, you know, they got, in the purpose of their life, isn't it, is to make your own decisions, not by what the school try to put upon you. You know, you're supposed to learn this. Why learn about Islam? None of us want to know about this evil. Let's learn about the true facts of Islam. Oh, excuse me, my voice is going to
certainly
be funny, Jan.
Yep.
Yeah, well,
play some videos. I mean, if you want to, I don't know.
Oh yeah, well,
the beheadings and the stoning of women. Start with those videos.
Or you know, and these are the ones that disturb us the most. You know, and you know, play some of the ones of them torturing dogs and cats to death.
Oh my God.
You know, I mean that's the sort of thing, and it's the sort of thing, honestly, that the EU wants to spread too. Now, I want to get to this next story, guys. Jeff, you already have it. This, as I say, we're moving into a new phase with this stuff, guys. And this is what we've been hearing about for, almost a week. Certainly, since a few days after May 1, her series of amendment votes. All right. And this one is put out by the Telegraph. And it was updated today, all right. And it says this one here's the headline: EU plots to sue Britain unless May forks over £39 billion. Now, Americans, last time I looked at the exchange rate, that was £1 for every $1.60. So do the math. Divorce bill in a no-deal scenario. Now, the subhead on this one is EU chiefs will demand Britain hands over the entire £93 billion divorce bill, even in the event of a no-deal Brexit. It has emerged. All right, now I'm going to read this here a bit, guys. Eurocrats will use the threat of legal action to ensure Britain continues to hand over the vast fee that was negotiated as part of Theresa May's doomed Brexit deal. The plans, this apparently was the plan B, the plans will infuriate Brexiteers who have been worked up in Brussels to ensure the political project's budget isn't wrecked by a no-deal divorce. A senior EU official revealed the proposals as part, the writing here is terrible, as part the commission's final no deal contingency announcement. All right, I'm going to scroll down a bit, guys. Okay, now let's get this last bit here, or this bit here. The powerful Brussels executive invested that all commitments taken by the 28 member states should be honored by the 28 member states. That's them quoting here. A statement added, this is also true in a no-deal scenario where the UK would be expected to continue to honor all commitments made during EU membership. Ha! Okay, I'll continue. Brexiteers have hoped that the threat of Brussels losing on the billions of pounds would be enough to force a last-minute EU compromise. But a senior commission official denounced the intimidation attempts and rebuked any concerns. Okay. They said the financial obligations would need to be dealt with. We want to avoid very disruptive and sudden consequences, which would be difficult to handle. In other words, they want their money, as is what it is. If you want to stay friends, you don't go to court, the source added. In the withdrawal agreement, which is deeply opposed in Westminster, Britain agreed to pay a financial settlement to Brussels that includes EU budget payments up to 2020, the year 2020, covers its liabilities and unlocks talks to a future relationship, which there should be none, not with the EU. Anyway, I continue. But the £39 billion fee would be scrapped in a no-deal scenario, which would lead Brussels to pressure Britain to agree to hand over the cash anyway by April the 18th, 2019. Yeah, good luck with that. The EU openly admits the extra funds would help soften the impact of no deal in areas such as agriculture and research funding and line their pockets. Oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't in part of the story. let me continue. The commission maintains that its no deal plans cannot replicate the withdrawal agreement, is unliteral and is aimed at mitigating the most disruptive effect on EU 27 stakeholders. Okay, and the last last year, Dominic Raab, a former Brexit secretary, said the government would not pay the terms of the financial settlement as agreed with the EU as part of the withdrawal deal. And that is it. Jeff and Jan?
Yeah.
I wouldn't give
no,
up.
We should pay that. I mean, you know, all this, what they're just trying to do is put a cosh on us. And I think you'd agree, Jan. But it's not going to happen, you know. Yeah, we might be paying a certain... Jan, we'll be paying a certain amount of money for them.
Why should we pay them anything?
Sorry?
Do you know what? We shouldn't be paying them anything. What really gets to me is these guys out there, especially Americans that probably don't know this. But from the year dot from where we more or less joined the common market, as it was called, which was a market to trade only, and now we're in this so-called super state where they're dictating everything, even to how many people we're to take in, et cetera, et cetera. From way back when we joined this common market that turned into an EU state, they paid our farmers to not plough their fields or work on them or grow anything. We have hundreds of thousands of acres of farmland that is sitting barren because the EU pays the farmers not to work them. Now think about that.
Yeah, it's a big... Jan, what's going to happen to these farmers? Are they going to reestablish their farms again? Are they going to sort of work the farms like they used to do? Is there going
to
be this
They're
going to
have
to work think,
farms to provide food.
Yeah.
If they're going to get, if they're going to be able to sell it in this trade, you know, free trade, then they're going to work the farms again. They've been sitting on the backsides all these years because they've been paid to do nothing. There are farms that are still working farms, of course, but, you know, all the farmland that surrounds me, do you know what they grow? Rapeseed. Rapeseed
really?
That's banned in most countries, yeah.
Wow.
But no, Moggins will all you see in the summer is fields and fields of yellow rapeseed. I don't know what they do with it in the end, but, you know. But
well, what exactly is it?
I don't know what they do with it, but in I know that some parts of America, I'm not sure what states it's banned, and parts of Europe it's banned, but, you know, we can stupidly grow it for the EU. But they're just going to have to open these farms up again to be... Maybe they want to have working farms, or are they... Have the sons had to do other things? I mean, there's young farmers that, you know, we've got cattle farms and... But we never have grown what we used to grow before the EU, before the common market. Now we've got all this land.
This is a great chance for our farmers to re-establish themselves and to make this country what it used to be, really great in doing what it's always done the best.
Like to think
great
so.
Farming, etc.
Are they going to get... They're probably going to get more money by working the farms than they do from however much... I remember a few years ago I heard it was £80 a field. It was kept. That's what they got.
Right, and they could probably make more money than they would get from the subsidy. Now, guys, there's one more story here that that we have time for. And this, in a way, is the most important one. We all know
can I just let
that...
you know, Dave, before we move on?
Go ahead,
Jeff. Bulb has joined us as well. Sorry about that, mate.
Uh-huh.
But we were so involved in the last story. Sorry about that.
Okay. Right. Now, this is in a way is the most important one, because we know that the Brexit vote was the one way that people could express themselves against this uncontrolled migration of the Mohammedans into the UK, because otherwise they would be called this is thisists and thisophobes and thatophobes, and the full weight of the UK government would come down on them for being quote unquote racist, even though Islam is not a race. now, the EU Parliament has an answer for that. this again is out of the Daily Mail, and this was put out on the 29th of January. Okay. Now, get this, guys. EU Parliament, this is the EU Parliament, by the way, to back visa-free travel for Britons after Brexit, even if there is no deal. Okay, that's the headline. Now, this, by the way, guys, if this comes from Reuters, by the way, the Mail Online got this from them. The bullet points, number one, EU Parliament Committee. To propose visa-free travel for Britons after Brexit, number two. This would be regardless of whether there is a deal in place or not by March 29. Number three, the proposal must then be voted on by the full EU Parliament next month.
So they can go to hell and get stuffed.
Yeah, number four. I always read it first, Jan. And number four. A number of countries already benefit from this, including Argentina and Japan. Number five, designed for trips less than 3 months, and doesn't cover right to work in EU. Now that's very interesting. You know, trips less than 3 months. You can do a lot in 2 months. You can do a lot to a lot of people. Now I'm going to read the story. It's not very long. A European Parliament committee is expected to propose on Tuesday that the Britons enjoy visa-free travel to Europe after Brexit, in other words, uncontrolled migration, regardless of whether or not there is a deal in place. EU visa expectations cover short trips of up to 3 months, and currently some 60 countries in the world benefit, quote-unquote, from the system from Argentina to Japan to Ukraine. It is mostly designed for business and tourism, and quote-unquote tourism, and does not cover the right to work in the EU. All right, let's scroll down a little bit. Okay, the committee's decision must then be endorsed by the full parliament next month, the full EU parliament, by the way, not even the UK parliament, which is also likely as other EU institutions have backed a move to for relaxed visa requirements for Britain after Brexit, provided London reciprocates. The parliamentary motion covers both a scenario under which Prime Minister Theresa May breaks the deadlock at home and manages to get the divorce deal she had negotiated with the EU ratified in the UK Parliament, as well as a no-deal Brexit. All right, and we've got just a bit more here, guys. It will also have to be agreed by the EU's Executive Commission and the European Council, which represents all member states of the Union. Parallel talks among EU states on letting Britons visit without visas following a no-deal Brexit were delayed last week, diplomatic sources said, after Spain raised objections over Gibraltar, a British territory to which, to which Madrid lays claim. The dispute between Madrid and London has already threatened to derail the whole Brexit negotiation process once, but a last-minute deal with Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez cleared the way in November for 27 EU states' approval of their divorce package with Britain. Now, however, Britain is struggling to ratify the deal with a series of votes due late on Tuesday. That's the votes I just took in the House of Commons to seek alternatives to May's troubled plan. Okay, and that is going to be it, guys. Jen, you've already expressed yourself on this. Jeff, what do you say?
It's funny, really, Dave, because as you was reading that, I noticed that the Alaskan, or Boyd, put a link, and he opened it up, and he laughed, because he said, I was going through some Twitter stuff, and there it was, a tweet from a friend. I opened it and realised I was reading the same thing as I was reading. So, yeah. There you go. He's definitely on the ball.
That's it. There you are. No. Yeah.
Definitely. But the Gibraltar thing you brought up, Dave. We'd fight tooth and nail to keep Gibraltar, wouldn't we, Jan? This is it. Something that it doesn't matter what they say, no matter what they do, Gibraltar's going to always end up with us. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the Spanish say or whoever says, Gibraltar. It's a bit like Falklands, isn't it, Jan? Okay, the Falklands is still ours. We
know,
go to war, other things like that, don't we, Jan?
The Spanish can shake, they can rattle the jaws a little bit, but, you know, they end up backing down. They're not getting Gibraltar. As for this EU rubbish about we will still be taking this, we'll still be taking that, I can't stand Theresa May, but she has said immigration will be controlled when we're out of the EU. She can't back down on that. Labour, who has always been...
It's what me and you voted for, wasn't it?
And now Corbyn changed his mind on immigration. Now he's starting to... it appears he's going to comply with immigration being stopped or sorted. And his left-wing idiots that follow him are very upset at the moment. There was a post yesterday about Corbyn backtrack. Labour's immigration U-turn is a wake-up call for Corbyn supporters. And all the lefties are up in arms because I don't quite know what he's said or what he's planning. He probably thinks that
he's walking around with his tail between
his
legs at this moment, Jan.
Yeah, he's probably, as you say, Jan, he's probably saying anything that he can just to try and get votes, because he knows that the majority of the people are against him, and they're against uncontrolled immigration. That to me, that is why this was the biggest story to come out of this particular phase of things, is that Europe still wants to play that game, and they still want to dump these people into the UK that it doesn't need. Right?
No.
It's like sitting in a powder keg with immigration as it is now. Because our own people are getting penalised, sick people are being taken off benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on rising the age of retirement. But expecting men and women now to work, well, women 67, men 70, and it keeps rising every year. Once they put in 40 years of full payments, national insurance, we've paid tax. We pay tax on pensions. We pay tax on the pensions before they become pensions. We're taxed to the hilt, and we're getting these people coming in at £40 a day, man, woman, and child, which turns out to be £2,000 a week plus for four people in one household. We're not going to take much more of this, you know. They're pushing us to the limit. They're pushing us to the limit.
Sister, she can't get a pension yet. We were talking the other day. She don't get. I thought she was getting a pension like me, but because she was born within that time, I mean, I was born in 51, and she was born 5 years after me, and all the dates are different sort of thing, and unfortunately for my sister, she's one of those that fall in the category that she don't get her pension till she's 67. That's bloody ridiculous, man.
Yeah, and by the time she gets to 66, she'll probably get it at 67, but then someone who's born 6 months after your sister will probably have to work till she's 70 and men to 73. I know people around here who have got their pensions for 3 weeks, 6 weeks, and then died. They're being worked to death. And that's how you've got to look at things. We can't keep on working the indigenous people into the ground to support horrible creatures like we're bringing in the dregs of society that have no intentions of working, that want to kill us, that are breeding diseases left, right. You walk into a hospital in Birmingham and you could, I've told you this many times, they're wearing the white sheets, the white outfits, like you were in the Middle East. Burkas and men dressed in white cloths with the white trousers and the skull caps, you know, them daft Pakistani hats. And it's like you're lucky to see a white person. Now, who's paid in to the NHS all these years? It's the indigenous people
of
Britain.
It, Jane? It's
and
so
get
sad to think that... Sorry, Jane. Sad that we've lived in a time now that it's quite obvious that what we're seeing is it's like a slow death of the indigenous people. It's a sort of a slow genocide, isn't it, Jan? Am I looking at my mother serious about this? Or?
In the cities where they are living, they have turned our streets into filthy, rat-ridden, disease-ridden hellholes that if you didn't see, you would think you were in the back streets of the Middle East, in Pakistan.
I hope you don't mind. I've got to stop you in your tracks just for a second, love, because I've just noticed we've only got 5 minutes left of the show. So I was wondering, Jan, when we talk again, I'll probably examine a few stuff we talked about tonight. But, I was going to say, Jan, where can the listeners find you during the week? I know you're busy, I know you do other things, but where can they find you, you know, if they want to catch up with you during the week?
Go on our page, Christian Defence League, and there's some interesting stories when I get a chance to post them. And I'll be very brief. There's one there today that I posted this morning, where in British schools, in Muslim schools in Britain, the girls are being fed after the boys have been fed. So there you go.
Oh my God.
Yep, that's what's going on here. And Ofsted complained about it 2 years ago, and they're still it's escalating. Anyway, you can find me at the Christian Defence League. I have thoroughly enjoyed your presence, Dave and Jeff, and I'll be on the show again when work allows me to be. To everyone in the chat room, thank you for joining us. I can't see you because I'm not logged into the chat room, but keep the faith and God bless you all. Been my pleasure, Jeff and Dave, and back over to you.
God bless you. And bless you, Jan. It's always great. It's great to have you, you know, on the shows. And I know because, you know, work situation, you can't always make it. But it's always a great honour and a pleasure. I know Dave feels the same to have you join us because you bring so much to our little round table that we've got, Jan. So thank you once again. And we'll speak again soon. And I hope to have you back with us. As our team. With that, God bless you, Jan, and no surrender.
Thank you.
Dave, your final thoughts, and where can people find you during the week? And I know you're a busy man.
All right. Well, Jeff, I just want to say that to the listeners of the Unpleasant Blind Guy that have followed along with this series, as new details crop up, they will be shared. But, you know, hopefully this has given you a little bit better understanding of the Brexit issue and of how it can affect you as Americans and how it affects people across the planet. This is a huge historical event and chain of events, which has gone on here. And I just want to say that I thank you for being a part of it, listening to it, and hopefully you can understand a little bit better, and we've all helped you do it. And Jeff and Jan, it's been my honor for you guys to be on my show and to work with you, as I always love to do. And I just want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, and patriots of the English Defense League and patriots around the world, no surrender. Back to you, Jeff.
Yeah, no surrender, Dave. As usual, thanks. It's always nice to hear you and your Jan's your final thoughts for the evening and where they can find you. But as I say, we're right down to the bar now. I've got to thank everybody, especially in the chat room tonight. We've had the Alaskan and we had Stanger join us, but I didn't see he was there. And when I went to check the chat, and he'd gone, so he might be having problems getting in. But also Vorpalbite, I've got to thank Vorpalbite for joining us.
Yep.
And Alaskan, thanks for joining in with us and putting a link there, which I made me laugh because Dave was reading the same thing as you opened up, and that was brilliant. So once again, we'll be back again. Oh, she's just telling me I've got 90 seconds. So with that, from myself, from Jan, from Dave, from our little team here, and from everybody who supports the radio show, and of course, the English Defence League, the organisation. We'll see you this Sunday. No surrender, no surrender. Emma, please be vigilant out there, guys. Okay. Take care. God bless. No surrender.
Good night, Jen.
Great job, guys.
Good night, everybody.
People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade. And I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, I don't mind. If I need you like that for far from its prime, then the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing to say if you've got some going on the ground. Pleasure as I hate me, I've been up already on my feet. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging between the flags. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader to place your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. Let the boys all shout for tomorrow. La 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 la.
ladies and gentlemen, bringing us right down to the end of the show there. I've just gone into the archives there, so, but that's okay. We had a great show tonight. I've got to thank Dave and, of course, Jan. It was a really good show. So thank you, Dave. And of course, I've got to thank Dave for the slides. Great slides tonight, mate. And, of course, with the script as well. And Jan, yourself, doing all the work you do for the show. Really, really appreciate it. And we'll speak to you soon. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the English Defence League radio show. Signing off for tonight, but don't worry, we'll be back Sunday. So you have a great couple of days. See you soon. Cheers, guys.